I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. It's been a pair of warm-up games for the BYU Cougars.
65 yards! Slovis to Rex! That had some heat on it. What a catch!
Now, BYU season turns to Power 5 opponents.
We're going to be aggressive and try to find ways to convert and keep the drives alive, and that's part of our game plan.
The Cougars start the season 2-0, and an offense with a lot of questions to answer. But hopes are high. They start to put it all together tonight.
Fly sweep get to Deion Smith, to the boundary, to the pylon, to the end zone!
The BYU Cougars travel to Arkansas for a showdown in the SEC. This is KSL's special extended pregame coverage, sponsored by Any Hour Services Electrical Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Our hosts are Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Hour number three is off and running here, live from Fayetteville, BYU versus Arkansas. Man, it feels good to be here in SEC country. First time since 2019 that BYU is playing a road game against an SEC team. These opportunities are few and far between. Only the seventh time BYU's playing in an SEC road venue. There was that LSU game in the Superdome, but that wasn't in Baton Rouge, even though it felt suffocating, not even crossing the 50-yard line, but I digress. To kick off hour number three of this BYU-Arkansas extended pregame coverage, Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte with you. Get a chat, play our conversation with Tyler Batty. Every single week on the Cougar Tracks podcast, I have a 30-minute sit-down interview with Tyler, playing some of the best of that conversation from the week, and get an insider look as to how the players are approaching this matchup against an SEC team. Tyler, how are you doing?
Doing great, Mitch. Thanks for having me, per usual.
Another week. They're just racking up. It's flying by. The season took forever to get here, but now it's already into week three. We will get to that Arkansas game a little bit later. We'll recap the Southern Utah game as well. Last week, you guys faced Southern Utah, 41-16 win, 2-0 on the season, fourth consecutive year. BYU goes to 2-0. You only know fast starts in this BYU program since you've been here in 2020. You guys always get off to quick starts on the season. What was your assessment or takeaway from how the defense performed in that game against SUU?
Honestly, it was a little, maybe disappointing, I think is honestly the right word, after having a shutout against Sam Houston the week before. And so for us as a defense, I think we didn't perform to our standard, really. And so that's always tough when you know you can play better. And so you just kind of, once the game's over, you go back, you review the film, you look at what you can improve on. And then, of course, this week, we try to implement that in practice and try to fix any errors that were made during the game. So.
How upset, if at all, was Jay Hill with maybe the second half? Because there were, and I bring up the second half because there were some drives where SUU picked up some third downs, extended drives, had 6, 7, 8 play drives. What was his mood? Did he seem a little more upset compared to this performance from week one, which was a shutout?
Yeah, and understandably so, right? We gave up a lot of third and longs that the SUU converted on. Most of that was us shooting ourselves in the foot. right? Out of position, not making a play, whatever, not getting enough pressure on the quarterback. So, right, that's frustrating. Good news is that is something we can fix, you know, and so, and that's always the focus is, yeah, you know, Jay has set the standard of, you know, we want a really good defense that you know, plays tough physical football. And we always want to play to that level, you know, as a bare minimum. And so, you know, there were some mistakes made and, yeah, the good news is it's stuff we can fix.
Three tackles on the day for you. You got a quarterback hurry as well. Seven quarterback hurries as a team. No sacks. There was a interception, which is always a positive thing. On the sacks front, is only having one sack, and that was yours on that opening defensive series against Sam Houston. Are we just blowing that up in the media, making too much of it? Is it cause for concern, or what's your kind of read on that, the lack of sacks for 2 weeks?
Yeah, cause for concern, I think as a unit, no. Cause for concern in the DN's room, absolutely. That, you know, that's one of our primary jobs is affecting the quarterback. And, you know, I think we had twice as many hurries, if I'm not wrong, or at least pressures in week one versus week two. You know, that's something that we're definitely aware of. I would say this game against SUU was an anomaly to our identity. I think week one, again, is a lot more consistent with who we are as a defense and who we want to be. And again, we want more sacks. You know, even after week one, that was something that we talked about and saying, hey, you know, we need to get more pressure on. And then unfortunately, we didn't make that happen in week two, but it's definitely something we're looking to make happen in week three, you know, improve pretty impressively from, you know, our showing this past week.
This week, you guys are going to Arkansas. No stranger to you and the returning Letterman on the defense, guys that were part of that game last year. I don't want to dive into it too much, but just from your perspective, and we you could probably go to for those of you listening, you could probably go back to the podcast last year when we recapped the Arkansas game, but your memories of last year's game against the Hogs, and maybe how has that changed the intensity of practice this week?
Yeah, for those of us who played in that game last year, we felt like we let one, you know, slip there. Absolutely. You know, it was kind of a tight game and we ended up giving up a lot of yards and a lot of points on defense, which is something you never want to do. And so we, you know, it's definitely a game, you know, if we could, we'd, you know, get back. And so, we're really excited for the opportunity to, go and play Arkansas again, right? Especially, you know, at their place and go experience a new venue. But most importantly, go compete and win a football game.
Arkansas got a new offensive coordinator. The narrative coming into the season was that they're going to slow down the pace a little bit. They're still going to have some shotgun, going a little more under center, some pistols still with KJ Jefferson at quarterback. From the 2 weeks of what you're seeing on film, does it seem like a completely different offense, or is it a lot of the same things you saw last year against Jefferson and these Hogs?
Yeah, I would say there are definitely some aspects of it that have changed. I think identity-wise as an offense, they're still going to want to run the ball, right? They're still going to want to, you know, pound the rock, you know, consistently. I think they're going to, you know, try to come out and establish the run. I also think that they're going to take some shots, right? They've shown some good production throwing the ball, right? KJ has a really high completion percentage right now. And so I think they're going to also try to throw the ball and move the ball that way and make some explosive plays. So last year to this year, I don't think their offense has changed too drastically. I think it's, again, identity-wise, it stayed pretty similar. You know, maybe, of course, we'll see some different play calling and some different plays. But overall, I would say pretty similar.
similar to BYU, I think BYU's offense wants to be a team that has a lot of success on the ground offensively. I know we don't talk about the offense too much because you're focused on defense, but Aaron Roderick announced today that L.J. Martin is going to be the starting running back. Aiden's still going to play. Deion Smith's still going to play. They're going to still get theirs, but Aiden's going to be the first guy. I just wanted to get your thoughts because it's not often you see a true freshman week three getting a start in a big stage. What's been your perspective of L.J. and trying to bring him down and how he's performed as a young freshman at 18 years old?
Yeah, honestly, it's really interesting because we didn't I haven't got very many looks against LJ, honestly. You know, through fall camp, you know, he's still a little bit lower on the depth chart, so we didn't see too much from him, which is really interesting. But, you know, guys get their opportunity and make the most of it, and he has. And so I think he's a really good running back. Clearly, he's been really productive. I think he's big, physical, you know, good balance. And, you know, if A-Rod, you know, says that they're starting him, there's a reason behind that, right? And so, yeah, that's, you know, honestly, that was news to me. I didn't know that was happening. So, but yeah, I think he'll go out there and do great.
A lot of similarities between this BYU and Arkansas teams. I think both teams right now feel like maybe the strength is on the defensive side and they're trying to fix things offensively. Kind of feels like an intriguing spot for both teams. What are you expecting from the atmosphere, your first SEC road game, if that's even a thing or an angle? Your feelings of going down to SEC country for the first time?
Excited. You know, BYU's played all over. BYU's played all over. I'm excited. I'm excited to go down there. I've heard it's a great game day environment. You know, I expect it to be plenty hostile. I also expect plenty of Cougar Nation to show out as well. You know, we travel great, and it's a big stadium, and so there's plenty of rooms for BYU, plenty of room for BYU fans to get in and be there. And so excited for that aspect as well. But I think it's going to be a fun game. You know, I think Arkansas is a good team. I think we're a good team. You know, both sitting at 2-0. I think it's going to be a really fun game.
Talking about this game, BYU and Arkansas kickoff at 5:30 p.m. I'll get the extended pregame started at noon. What are you expecting from this game, Tyler? Like, what do you think is going to be the what's going to be needed for you guys to come away and enjoy that post game meal afterwards?
Yeah, I think everyone just has to go execute. You know, it's really funny. People, you know, always ask, you know, what are the keys to a game? If you can be more disciplined and if you can go out execute the other team, you know, that's really what it comes down to. Even if, you know, it's always funny because there's a lot of secrecy surrounding football, right? And plays, and, you know, everyone's trying to gain an edge. But if you really look at like the best teams, offensively, defensively, special teams, they go out and they execute over and over and over and over again at a really, really high level. Even if, you know, you look at the NFL, you know, and you got, you know, someone like Patrick Mahomes that seems to be always making plays, you know, with his legs and just his arm talent, etc. Well, he does it over and over and over again at a really high level. His receivers run routes and get open at a really high level. You know what I mean? And so that's really what it comes down to. And so I think for this week, as we go out there, that is the key. The offense has to be able to go out, make blocks, make reads, catch balls, carry the ball well, protect the ball, right? Defensively, we've got to be able to go out and execute our plays, right? Make sure guys are on their responsibilities, on their man, in their coverage, you know, in their gap when it's needed. It may sound a little bit too simple, but consistency at a really high level is the absolute hardest thing to obtain. And so that's, you know, that's what we're just going to strive to do that.
That's BYU defensive end Tyler Batty. We'll hear more from him on the other side. So taking a timeout, more from Captain Tyler Batty here on extended pregame coverage of BYU and Arkansas live from Fayetteville right here on KSL News Radio.
BYU, Arkansas.
Keaton Slovis sets and fires and has Keanu Hill in the end zone for the touchdown. Rise and shout. The Cougars score 6-4.
Special extended pregame coverage on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into extended pregame coverage, BYU versus Arkansas. Hey, if you need updates on BYU football, quick, simple updates, text 57500 BYU to 57500, and you'll be on our BYU KSL text list. Send personal insider updates from me, score updates, breaking news updates, BYU to 57500, and you can get up on our update text list. Let's get back out to Tyler Batty, the conversation I had earlier in the week with BYU star defensive end. I think it's fun, too, from the standpoint of it's your first road game of the season. Off memory, this is new for you guys, for you at least, where the first game in previous three seasons of your time at BYU, those were always on the road. So the first road game always came right out of the chute to open a season. This year you've had two home games before you go out on the road. What is a road game travel like? And maybe take us behind the scenes. Is there a certain seat that each player says, I got to have that seat on the plane? Does Kalani sit in a certain seat? Do you have a certain seat as a captain? Lay out just kind of the nuances of travel for you guys when you go out on the road.
Yeah, totally. It's funny you mentioned that, because it is. You know, I at least never thought about, you know, traveling per se, you know, in college, or just like how exactly the logistics, how it would go down. But when we travel, it depends, of course, how many time zones we're going away. If we're going all the way back to the East Coast, two time zones, we'll travel 2 days before, right? So games on a Saturday, we'll travel on a Thursday. One time zone away, same time zone, we'll just travel, you know, the day before, right? So for Arkansas this week, right, we'll kind of have our meetings, figure some stuff out here, and then hop on a plane and head out Friday, spend the night there Saturday, and then of course we'll play on Saturday. But as for traveling, we are really lucky. We have a pretty good travel gig with Delta, and so we'll get a chartered plane, right, that we fly the team on. We'll pull up. Normally it's at the Provo Airport. This week they're actually resurfacing the tarmac there, so this is the first time that I've actually traveled out of Salt Lake for any of our away games. We always travel out of Provo. It's super convenient. It's super nice. So normally we hop on the, you know, we actually don't even get on the buses. You just take your car to the airport, park it, walk out, get on the plane, and away we go. It's pretty sweet. You know, we'll go through, they have a security screening there as well, real quick, but it's nothing like waiting in lines, you know, flying commercials. So it's pretty cool. As for seating, you know, that's actually all predetermined, which is nice. Of course, your kind of starters or your bigger guys will be in first class, right? They don't want Keaton being cramped up on a flight. You know, he's got to perform well. So, you know, they try to keep those guys, you know, nice and comfy, and that way, they're performing at their best. And so, that is nice. Being a bigger guy, I've been lucky to sit in first class a couple times when we travel, which is nice. It's about the only time I ever do sit in first class. So, it's cool. And honestly, you know, the staff on the plane always takes good care of us. And so, you know, we have our little snacks, our drinks, you know, it's a longer flight, a little, you know, meal, whatever. They'll have sandwiches for us that they hand out. No one's can't really be too picky, you know, can't really say, hey, that's my seat. It's now predetermined. So honestly, if you probably said something like that, you get booted to the back of the plane and stuffed up against a window. So
is Kalani.
So it's been a cool experience traveling.
Is Kalani in first class with the starters, or is he a humble guy and just sitting in coach? Cause he is a coach.
Yeah, he is a coach sitting in coach.
Really?
Yeah. So you know, all the coaches sit back there as well. They you know try to you know maybe put them in an exit row or something like that. Give them a little more breathing room. You know, depending on how we're flying them, what we're flying, maybe there's a seat in between. You know, so they're not cramped up. But yeah, it is. You know, it's funny you say that because some of our coaches are bigger guys. You know, I don't know where Coach Puha is going to fit in. They might throw him in first class. He's a big guy, you know, him and Coach Funk, you know. But no, I think for the most part, yeah, coaches normally sit in the maybe not the economy, maybe the what's the
comfort plus,
you know, the comfort seating in between. Yeah, there you go, the comfort plus. Yeah, there you go.
I got to ask you too. And look, I don't mind a fast food meal. For those who have seen me, I enjoy a fast food meal. But I bring this up because I always see, you know, I think when you say snacks and drinks on the plane, I'll see like the photos when you guys are boarding a plane, and I'll see like a Chick-fil-A box, or I'll see, or post game, some fast food meal. Do you just sometimes like say, screw it, I'm just going to eat it? But like, I imagine you're pretty, you eat pretty clean, I would imagine. You seem like you got a pretty strict regimen, I would assume, with your diet and what you're eating. I don't know. It seems always weird to me that top end athletes are just getting fast food like us schmucks over here.
No, yeah. So it is funny you bring that up. So I would say pregame, you know, when we get on the plane, normally it's pretty healthy stuff.
Okay.
You know, for you know, teriyaki grill, or I'm trying to remember who makes our sandwiches, but you know, there'll be a little cookie in there. You know, and this is also some we got a lot of big dudes that burn a lot of calories, you know, and so you know, 8-10,000 calories a day. That's a lot of food. That's a lot of food. And so, you know, it kind of comes down to a point where, you know, you just got to get calories in, you know, you just got to get them in. I do try to, you know, eat pretty clean. Me and my wife both do. That's something we eat pretty healthy. And so, I try to refrain from the cookie in our little sandwiches box, you know, but, post game, you know, it's funny you bring that up. Post game, it's just food. You don't care. You really don't, man. If it's Chick-fil-A, if it's pizza, if it's a greasy whatever, you're just happy to eat food after a game, man. It's honestly 4 hours. You had like some applesauces, some pickle juice, and some Powerade, and a bunch of water, and that's about it. You know, maybe a PB&J or something. You haven't had much, so post-game, you're just starving. So, yeah, whatever you can get down is really how it goes.
So, Cougar fans listening, if BYU gets a win this Saturday in Fayetteville, and that's the goal that you guys are setting for, that post-game meal is just going to be hitting nice, I would imagine.
Yeah. You know, especially I'm hoping, you know, for maybe some barbecue or, you know, something like that. You know, it, you know, it depends game to game. Sometimes I've had some pretty questionable post game food. Just like, I think I'll just wait for the snacks on the plane, you know, and whatever else. But no, yeah, most of the time you're just trying to get food in. So yeah, after that win, you know, Cougar Nation, you just go get a nice greasy burger, yeah. Enjoy it with us. Just say, you know, after watching that, it's a good excuse. It's a good cheat meal to say, after watching that game, man, I'm starving. I need to go get me some food. So,
I love it. I wanted to ask you too, Tyler. Earlier this week, Arkansas coach Sam Pittman, he was addressing the media down in Fayetteville and was noting some of the players that catch his attention. And he was about to say you. He said that defensive end number 90, and then for some reason he got distracted and then said Max Thule, Jacob Robinson, whatnot. Do you ever kind of tune in to what the, you know, the opposing players or opposing coaches are saying, and if they're like mentioning you, like, does it make you go, okay, like, are they going to be zeroing on me, double teaming me? Does it make you kind of overthink and go, you know, like, are they going to be scheming for me extra hard because they mentioned me as a standout?
As for listening in on that stuff, unless it pertains to personnel, you know, who's going to be on the field for them, I don't pay much attention. Yeah. Honestly, most of the noise, most of the buzz, I try to tune out, honestly. I would say most of the time I just anticipate it. I just anticipate it, especially going into year four. They've got a lot of tape on me. I played quite a few games, and so I just kind of expect it, and so just kind of be ready for whatever happens out there, and still just try to go do my like we just talked about, right? Just try to go do my job at a high level, and hopefully make some plays. So it has been cool. Talking just with coaches in the past two games, they have mentioned that, just like, hey, good job, good game, whatever. We're scouting you all week, so that is something to be said, and that also kind of makes me anticipate it going into games down the road. Is just having coaches say that, right? It's just like, all right, yeah, they are aware, right? They're trying to prepare just as hard for this game as we are, right? They're trying to scout our personnel and know who's gonna disrupt and make plays, and just kind of anticipating.
Great stuff as always from Tyler Patty. I love my conversations with him. He's a great dude. It would be huge for him if he can have a big game on this sort of stage. Look, all the stages from here on out are huge. But to do it on an SEC venue, it just means more, right? It absolutely does. Hey, Steve Clark on the other side, BYU tight ends coach. We still got a loaded show. Max Tooley coming up as well. Score predictions. It's BYU Arkansas extended pregame coming to you from Fayetteville here on KSL News Radio and KSLSports.com.
BYU's offense started scoring points just in time.
A throwback. Rex makes the catch, makes the dive, has the score. Touchdown, Cougars!
The Cougars' third game starts a series of Power 5 showdowns that will show how far the Cougars have come.
I'm really pleased with the guys and how they're playing. I like the way the offense is getting in the red zone. Let's just got to get there as much as possible.
You're listening to KSL Special Extended Pregame Coverage, sponsored by Any Hour Services Electrical Plumbing, Heating, and Air. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday, getting you ready for BYU in Arkansas, the Cougars back in SEC country, joined by tight end coach, passing game coordinator. No!
That's Fessy. You can give me that.
There's so many different things. I get them mixed up from time to time, coach.
Yeah, I'm the tight ends coordinator.
Tight ends coach and coordinator. Yeah. Any other titles?
I have a lot of titles. I like to, when we win, I'm the head coach.
There you go.
Coordinator.
There you go. How fun is it, just from a coaching perspective, to go into these type of venues that are, they've been on national TV a lot, like SEC. It's got to be cool, even as a coach, right?
Fun, challenging. Fun if you win. Like when we played Tennessee a few years ago, we went on the clap. I don't know if people know what the clap is. Do I need to explain
it? Yes, explain it. I don't even know.
So the clap, and we snap the ball, and we've been into every stadium in that you can think of, and been able to hear the clap. When we went to Tennessee with Zach Wilson, and we could not hear the clap, and so we had to install a head bob cadence
mid game. Wow.
And the first time we did it, we ran motion. He bobbed his head, snapped the ball, hit the guy in motion. We lost like 15 yards. It was so fun. I don't know if that.
I need to go back and rewatch this.
Yeah, but yeah, 100,000 people, and it was loud, and couldn't hear the, could not hear the snap count. So, but yeah, I mean,
I don't expect
you gotta embrace it. Yeah, you gotta look at it.
Do you take a moment to just soak it in? Because I mean, these are bucket list items for some college football fans.
Sure. Yeah. You go to Neyland Stadium. You go to USC.
Yep.
The Rose Bowl. These are storied programs, and so yeah, you do. You go in there and you tell your players, hey, soak it in, but don't forget why we're here. We're not here for any other reason than to compete.
When you look at this Arkansas team, defensively, how have they changed from last year? Because that was, I mean, Arkansas won, but there was a lot of yards gained by both teams last year.
So last year they came out, they played a 3-3-5 to start the game. They're not in
that's
that.
That's gone.
They still have some odd front packages, but they're more of a four down. And we did really well against the 3-3-5, and then they switched to a four down in the second half. And so I expect them to, you know, be a little bit more static in what they do, and not that they won't be in pressure. But I think they feel like, you know, we're, you know, big and strong and fast, and you know, let's just line up, and we know who has who, and let's go play.
Before we get deeper into your group, the tight ends, what have you learned about the offense through the first 2 weeks that encourages you about the rest of the season?
Well, I think, you know, we felt like we didn't play well the first game, but that's a good defense. You know, I think you're going to see that throughout the year. That's a really good defense. I think the resiliency of coming back and playing better and cleaning up the mistakes and getting getting better from week one to week two, and hopefully we can make a bigger jump from week two to week three.
Let's get into the tight end group a little bit with the with the tight end coach, Steve Clark. Let's start off with Isaac Rex. I think it's been a lot of fun for fans to see him kind of look like his old self pre-injury. Mm-hmm. What have you seen from Isaac Rex throughout this season so far?
Yeah, he's a lot more healthy. He knows the offense so well that I think that he's just playing now, and he can play faster than he did last year, and he's not in a lot of pain. His practice, the reps that he takes in practice aren't as labored as they were last year. So, you know, he feels good. Hopefully he can continue to feel good. But, yeah, I mean, he's doing the same. The stuff that he did really with Zach in 2020 is kind of what he's doing again right now.
What kind of leader is he, and what does he mean to the tight end group, just his presence and experience?
Well, he's a captain, so he's looked up to by the players on the team. So it's not just the tight ends. He's a quiet leader. He doesn't say much, but he's very steady. He's the same every single day. He's consistent. There isn't a lot of highs or lows. You know, you say, hey, you know, you could have broken the record Saturday with that long catch. And, yeah, he's just, yeah, I know. Well. Isaac, you won $1 million. Great. Guess I'll quit.
Oh, man, that's funny. I think the biggest surprise of fall camp, it's not a surprise now, but was your number two tight end, Matava Tase. Give us the background on how he came on the radar and how he rose the depth chart so quickly.
So we saw him at Southern Utah last year, where he played last year. And he's, you know, he's not really the second tight end. He's the first F, what we call the F.
Okay.
So, and he's just a physical guy. And he
is that the Wake role?
That's the Mason Wake role. And you know, he knows the big advantage that he has is that he knew the offense. It was the same offense that they ran last year at Southern Utah. So he came in knowing all the all the terminology, all the plays, all the signals, all of it. And so that gave him a huge leg up. And then he just was real physical, and he just filled the role that Mason left so well. And it was kind of a seamless fit. So he worked really hard, and, you know, he had a tough couple weeks. You know, I don't know how much he wants to talk about that, but you know, he played the day that his dad passed away, and then he had the funeral this yesterday. So you know, that says a lot about his character, and I think that's probably the biggest reason he is where he is on this team, is the character and the work ethic and the resiliency that he brings to this team after you know, such a difficult time.
Stories like that, I feel like, really put sports into its proper perspective, right? You know,
yeah.
Like, and look, sports to a lot of people are really important, but those type of stories really help you remember that it is a game at the end of the day. How hard is it from a coaching perspective to see your players go through stuff like that?
Oh, it's, you know, I tell them all the time, I don't love them as much as their parents do, but it's close. And, you know, you talk about, you know, puts sports in its perspective. At the same time, it was the best thing for Tava to do that day was to go out and play. And, you know, he had the choice whether he could or not, and he decided, yeah, my dad would want me to play, and so I'm going to go play. And it was the best thing. It was the best thing for him. So, but yeah, you know, injuries and deaths in the family, you can go on breakups. My teacher doesn't like me. I turned that in, coach, I promise. They just haven't graded it yet. I mean, it's like raising 9 young men. So yeah, when one's hurting, we're all hurting.
It feels like the tight ends, and I could be wrong here, I'm just looking at numbers. Numbers don't tell us everything, but Rex, the most targeted in the game against SUU. It feels like the tight ends are a lot more involved in the passing game this year. Is that accurate, or is that...
I think it's a product of Keaton being comfortable with them. It's the same place. We might be doing a little bit more with Isaac, but not much.
A few more moments with Steve Clark, and we'll let you go, and we're looking forward to this game against Arkansas. The run game, I think, has some people concerned from the tight end perspective, because that's a piece of it, run blocking. How are they doing?
That's a huge piece of it.
How are they doing in that area of the game?
I think they're doing well. The first game was tough. They were a twisting, active front that, you know, I think that if, in hindsight, we would do some things different. In the next game, there's always stuff that we need to work on. We need to work on finishing down the field blocks. I think we were better last week, but we can be even better. But yeah, I think we're on the right track. And you know, the run game, it's like Coach A-Rod says, it's 11 man job. So, you know, it's not the offensive line, it's not the running backs, it's everybody working as a unit to make the running game go.
Last thing for you, what does BYU need to do against Arkansas to win in your perspective?
Score more points, score one more point.
All right, coach.
One more point than they do, then we win. I don't know if anybody's explained you that.
Coach, that I did know that. Run the football,
so,
yeah,
efficiently. You know, efficiently. I think efficiency is the key to the run game. It always comes down to the same things:
yep.
Turnovers,
yep.
Staying out of third and longs, scoring touchdowns in the red zone. From our perspective, that's what we've got to do. And handling, I mean, they're a big physical front, and handling those guys up front and protecting the quarterback. I mean, we could go for days, but I would say that, you know, protection of the quarterback, scoring touchdowns in the red zone, and turnovers would be the biggest.
Coach, thanks for the time. I always enjoy our conversations. Good luck, and we'll catch up another time.
Okay.
That's BYU tight ends coach Steve Clark. Extended pregame coverage live from Fayetteville continues. BYU in Arkansas, right here on KSL News Radio, and it's powered by KSLSports.com.
BYU, Arkansas.
To the boundary, to the pylon, to the end zone! Touchdown!
Special extended pregame coverage on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into KSL News Radio, getting you ready for BYU and Arkansas. Joined now by BYU linebacker Max Tooley. And Max, how much urgency has there been this week with the angle of revenge and trying to get the upper hand in this rematch against the Hogs?
Yeah, I mean, it's been big, you know, especially, yeah, we have a lot of new faces, but, you know, there's a lot of guys coming back that we want revenge. We want show them that, you know, last year wasn't what we wanted to put on tape. So I think, you know, there's a big chip on our shoulder going into this week that we want to prepare the right way. We want to do everything the right way so we can, you know, learn from our mistakes from last year. So
I'll put you on the spot a little bit there. You've faced some really good quarterbacks in your time here at BYU, with you guys having coast-to-coast football there in Independence. Where does KJ Jefferson stack up among the better quarterbacks that you have faced in your BYU career?
I mean, it's really hard to not put him at the close to the top. You know, someone at his size who moves the way he does and, you know, makes the plays that he does. You know, I have a lot of respect for him as an athlete and as a football player. So I mean, yeah, he's right at the top. I think he's proven that he can be a force, you know, on every down, whether he's running the ball or throwing the ball, or just directing the offense. So I think, yeah, it's a big time player to play against, and you know, that's what us as football players we thrive on, right? We love playing against the best. So I think it's just something to motivate us a little bit more.
How much do you also thrive on big stages? I know LES is a huge stage, and you guys have had a rocking crowd in week one, but maybe just going in the SEC, a new territory, bring that stretch wide to a stadium that's never seen that before. Just maybe what are your thoughts on that atmosphere that awaits?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing better than playing in these big SEC stadiums, you know, with stadiums like the Coliseum. You know those fans are so passionate, and they're going to come out and support their team regardless of how they're doing in the year. So I think, you know, that's something big that's going to play into it as well, you know. I think we're just going to find that energy. We're going to feed off of their crowd. You know, they can be hostile or whatever. I haven't played at Arkansas personally, but, you know, I've played in Tennessee. I've played in Neyland Stadium. So I've seen how those fans can be. And, you know, I think it's just a bigger motivator to perform and do well. So
Max Tooley is my guest here on KSL News Radio. And I got to ask you, Max, how has it been navigating a football season while also being a married man now?
Yeah, you know, I think in some ways it's a little bit easier, honestly. You know, there's less distractions, less of a social life, less of a social presence. So it's kind of easy to have just my wife, you know, keeping me on the right track. You know, we'll watch film together at night and stuff like that. You know, I'll kind of show her and explain to her stuff, and it kind of helps me in a way. You know, if before I didn't really have somebody to do that with, and so I think in a way it's lifted a little bit off my shoulders, just having her. She supports me in everything that I do, so it's been good.
It's got to be music to the ears to Coach Hill. And I got to ask you, what do you enjoy the most about being in Coach Hill's defense this year?
Yeah, I love the way he just pushes us every day to, you know, become the best versions of ourselves, both on and off the field. You know, coming out here like on a Tuesday, this is always going to be a bloody Tuesday is what he calls it. So it's that day that we're really going to come out and grind and push each other. You know, the scout team is going to go really hard. But, you know, that's what Jay Hill is all about. You know, you can't get better without, you know, going through some adversity or some just getting tougher. So I think that's something he's brought to us and, you know, brought in a greater sense of urgency to our defensive squad and everything that we do. So.
Through a few weeks, how do you feel just health-wise? I know you're coming back from the shoulder, but just everything feel good? And where do you feel like you're at individually with your play in this new scheme?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm still learning. I had a little bit of hiccups in fall camp, and, you know, didn't practice a couple weeks out of the camp. And so, you know, it took a little bit more for me to get used to the offense or to the defense, excuse me. But, you know, it's been good. You know, Jay, he's been a great mentor, and Justin Enna, he's a fabulous coach. He's getting me right every week. But, yeah, in terms of my health, I feel like, you know, I've been able to put on a couple more pounds this year, and it's helped in terms of keeping my body healthier, staying in the fight more. So, yeah, it's been solid up to this point. Can't complain.
We got to have some sort of nickname for you, Vong Fachan and Bywater. You guys are, I mean, a lot of experience, a lot of production under your belt. I mean, how much are you enjoying working with those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, both of those guys are studs. You know, AJ came in, you know, obviously from a different scene up at Utah State, but he fit in perfectly here at BYU. And, you know, he's been one of those mentors to all of us, really, just the way that he attacks each day. Same with Ben. You know, they're always grinding in the weight room, grinding out here in practice. So it's great to have, you know, a couple vets beside me, you know, just to help uplift the whole defense, uplift our linebacker room. So,
well, Max, best of luck against the Hogs, and looking forward to this rematch game, and talk down the road.
All right, I appreciate you. Thank you.
Maximus. That was Max Tooley, BYU linebacker. Great stuff from him. Bloody Tuesday. You got to love that, right? He'll look to create some blood on the Hogs today as the Cougars get ready to take on the Razorbacks. Here in Fayetteville, Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, more extended pregame coverage coming to you from Fayetteville. for BYU in Arkansas here on KSL News Radio, and it's powered by KSLSports.com.
The following is a presentation of KSL Sports. It's been a pair of warm-up games for the BYU Cougars.
65 yards! Slovis directs. That had some heat on it. What a catch!
Now, BYU's season turns to Power 5 opponents.
We're going to be aggressive and try to find ways to convert and keep the drives alive, and that's part of our game plan.
The Cougars start the season 2-0, and an offense with a lot of questions to answer. But hopes are high. They start to put it all together tonight.
Fly sweep get to Deion Smith, to the boundary, to the pylon, to the end zone!
The BYU Cougars travel to Arkansas for a showdown in the SEC. This is KSL's special extended pregame coverage, sponsored by Any Hour Services Electrical Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Our hosts are Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Extended pregame coverage from Fayetteville, Arkansas. It rolls on as we are inching closer to the Razorbacks, the Hogs, in the Southeastern Conference and the BYU Cougars. Gosh, it's been a great show breaking down this awesome football game. You just do not get this many opportunities to play in this part of the country that starves for college football. So it is fantastic, Mitch.
It's a great environment. And yes, for all the texters that have been texting in throughout the day, 57500. I do have pants, even though they were burned with a hole because the hotel iron that I'm staying at here in nearby Fayetteville. But I do have pants. I'm ready to go.
Was it
for
instantaneous?
The game. Instant. So I just, after about 5 seconds with the iron on my pants, I lift it up and then I see the hole. And I'm just thinking, how does this happen? I was like, I got panicked. And then I start going, looking up Sam's Club and Walmart. Luckily, we're in the home of Walmart and Sam's Club because the Waltons just basically run, you know, everything in this town because of Walmart. So there's many Walmarts and Sam's Clubs around. So I was able to use that membership card proudly and go get some pants. And I'm like, you know what? I was like a true dad on a Saturday. Went and looked at a little quarter zip. I did my SEC. What I should do is an SEC. All the clothing out there. It picture like a quarterback in the SEC with that comb over hairdo, what they would wear on like a weekday at a tailgate, or like wear with, you know, all those Instagram photos. They got the polo.
Did you get any hog stuff?
A little bit of Vineyard Vine shorts. I got a yesterday. I went to the team shop, got a, you know, pennant for my kids, a little pin, a hog. I was thinking about a hog hat, but I looked at the price tag. I go, you know, this is $55. How many times am I going to wear this hog hat?
Rarely.
I mean, it's cool. It'd be a nice little item on my Zoom calls to say I was there. But how many times am I going to actually wear a $55 hog hat? Hopefully BYU is going to be coming out with some hog on their head, maybe some celebratory item, coming away with a victory tonight as the Cougars take on Arkansas. 5:30 kick. We're getting you ready. We're coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte. We will be inside the stadium with coverage throughout the evening on KSLSports.com. And you can, of course, listen to Greg Rebell and Hans Olsen on the call here on KSL News Radio. What do you feel are some keys to victory tonight for BYU in this game that I don't think enough people are giving credit that it does feel evenly matched? I just think that there's this unknown still with this BYU team.
100%. We haven't seen BYU play its best football yet. Against SUU, we saw the pass game come alive, but that was offset by a poor rush attack and a defense that didn't look as stout as they did against Sam Houston. There's three areas for me, Mitch, that will decide this football game. Number one at the line of scrimmage, rush yards. Both teams have great rush defenses, but both teams have played weak competition. Which defense is going to rise up and stuff the run of the opponent? That is a key thing that I'm looking out for. Last week, BYU gave up close to 100 yards against SUU, so that wasn't a great indicator of the direction they're going, but it's early. And then secondly, who is forced to kick field goals in the red zone? Both teams are 100% in the red zone scoring touchdowns. Who can make a play down in the red zone to keep points off the board? I feel like that's going to be absolutely critical. And then third down, I know that Aaron Roderick has downplayed it a little bit this week, saying we're not as bad as the number says, because the number's bad. It's sub 30%. You're at the bottom of college football right now in third down conversion percentage. You can't convert 29% against Arkansas on the road and win. They have to move the chains frequently, get into third and short, and convert if they want to beat Arkansas.
I like that BYU is an aggressive team, and they're willing to treat fourth down like a offensive snap, but I think ideally you don't want to put that offense in a spot with 72,000 fans roaring down your back. I know there's going to be a good contingent of BYU fans, about 8,000 to 10,000 is what I kind of expect. There was a lot of BYU fans when I flew in.
Same here.
But I think that still you don't want to be putting Keaton Slovis in this offense in spots where it is just a roaring crowd. Biggest crowd they're going to be in front of since 2019 against Tennessee. I think on the offensive line it's going to be interesting. I know there's been well-documented their struggles more in the run blocking.
Yep.
Pass blocking, they've still been pretty good. They haven't given up any sacks this year. Arkansas through 2 weeks, 9 sacks, 21 tackles for loss. This defensive line is very aggressive. They go, you know, they got 8 players that they feel they can trot out, and it doesn't drop off the level of production for Arkansas's defensive line. Even some of their second teamers, they could be you know, third team all SEC type players. They're pretty good along the defensive front. They've kind of overhauled their strength and conditioning program, where BYU went to more of a flexibility, speed, agility, individualized approach. Arkansas went more to the new Tofisi powerlifting squats approach. So we'll see what kind of that difference, how that plays a role in this game. But offensive line has got to be good for BYU. Yeah. And they've got to explode off the line of scrimmage out of the gates. Create opportunities for LJ Martin, Aiden Robbins, Deion Smith to all have success, whoever the back is. I know LJ's going to get the first carry, but explode off the line of scrimmage, because if it's a situation where that first quarter you're going 3 and out, you know, back to back drives to open up, I just think then doubt starts to creep in. You go, are we able to get a first down in this game? So set the tone early that you are ready to play, because Arkansas, I've got questions about them offensively, and I think BYU's defense will rise to the occasion, but BYU's offensive line has got to perform and earn the hype they've got in the preseason.
This game is going to tell us all we need to know about this BYU team and how they're going to fare in the Big 12, because that defensive line is legit, as you mentioned, Mitch. That's the strength of their defense. And if this rush attack, and look, I'm not looking for anything crazy, but you can't go 46 yards on 23 carries. If they have 23 carries again against the Hogs and they get 90 yards, 100 yards, that's really good against a deep and talented defensive line. That makes me feel like, okay, there's progress being made. They're going in the right direction. They held their own. If they just get absolutely stifled, you can't pin it on the running backs. Because that's, I kind of felt like this week it was, hey, we're going with LJ because the other dudes aren't getting it done.
Yeah.
And this week we're going to find out, is it LJ? Or is it the line and the running backs? And that's really important, because going forward, you cannot win enough Big 12 games to get the bowl eligibility if you're throwing for 300 and rushing for sub 50. It's got to be a little more balanced than that. You've got to have a little possession from time to time. And so I love that point from you, because this is the game. Like, we're going to walk out of this game, because the last 2 weeks we walked out and we're like, well, we didn't learn a whole lot.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't that impressed, and we still got a lot of questions. We're walking out of this game, win, loss, blowout, whatever it is, we're walking out with a lot of answers and a lot of questions that need to be resolved going forward, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's the run game, the city, you name it, we're going to have a lot more answers after tonight.
Under 2.5 hours until kickoff, BYU and Arkansas, 5:30 kick. We're here in Fayetteville. You can text 57500. For BYU updates, text BYU to 57500, and you can get updates throughout the evening and also throughout the BYU football season on all the breaking news items regarding this BYU football team. Pretty cool quarterback matchup, too, in this one. Keaton Slovis for BYU, of course. KJ Jefferson for Arkansas. Jefferson's 73.8% completion rate. Keaton Slovis only 65%. Slovis has more yards, 493. Jefferson, 382. Hasn't had an INT yet. Opportunity for BYU secondary to get Jefferson his first pick.
Yeah, that would be huge. Turnovers have helped this defense tremendously with the lack of sacks so far, but the fact that they've been turning over their opponents has really helped this defense make plays and give the ball back. And the quarterback battle is so fascinating, too, because Jefferson can throw,
but he's a true dual threat dude. I mean, he's a big guy. He is a hog. You talk about a hog. KJ Jefferson is a hog. He's going to run the football. Slovis is not. Like, he's run it a lot more than I think you and I even thought he would, but Slovis' strength is through the air, so it's going to be fun to see a little contrast between Slovis is the pocket quarterback, Jefferson is more of a running quarterback, which one can have more success against the other defense.
What I like about this game, too, is that both teams are feeling like they've got to perform well, as you noted, before they get into conference play. Arkansas is not going to have another home game until October 21st. They go four straight away from Fayetteville. They haven't done that in decades. BYU, obviously staring down their first inaugural Big 12 schedule coming up next week with Kansas in a afternoon ESPN tilt. They got to look good, and I feel like there's got to be that feeling of progress being made. Whether you win or lose, you got to feel like you put your best foot forward and you made progress. Because at the end of the day, if BYU loses this game, I'm not setting it up to say, oh, be happy with a loss. But if they do lose, you move forward, and then you say, it's conference play now. As many in Salt Lake told BYU fans for so many years, well, we don't really care. We're going to go play for the Rose Bowl. Well, now you can go play for the Big 12 title. You know, so at the end of the day, BYU still got a lot to play for whether they win or lose here. It's just now, but you want to see a lot of progress taking place tonight because this is a good barometer as Arkansas as a team receiving votes.
One team's walking out of here, Mitch, 3-0. Arkansas hasn't done that since 1979 when they were coached by Lou Holtz, and BYU could be 3-0, which I feel like they sort of need to get to if they want to feel a lot better about getting to a bowl game. So there is a lot on the line, even though it's not going to hurt in conference play. Big opportunity for both teams, and I feel like both coaching staffs and players recognize that this is an important game to set us up for conference play.
Final timeout of the extended pregame. BYU and Arkansas, myself, Matt, and Nate Slack at Broadcast House will give our score predictions next for BYU versus the Hogs here on KSL News Radio, and it's powered by KSL Sports.
BYU, Arkansas.
Keenan Slovis has his first career rushing touchdown.
Special extended pregame coverage on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into extended pregame coverage of BYU versus Arkansas from Fayetteville. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte on location for this big BYU SEC showdown. Got producer Nate Slack that'll join us momentarily with his score prediction at Broadcast House in Salt Lake City. Takes a team to get this show rolling. We appreciate all of Nate's hard work and folks here at KSL giving us this extended pregame window because it's a big game, and BYU looking to make a statement going in to SEC country with a win. And it was great to see, too, last night watching the local news here in Fayetteville. BYU donated 40,000 pounds of food to a local food bank here in Arkansas, watching the news coverage. It's just BYU looks to make an impression on and off the field. Now let's see if tonight on the field they can make that impression. Let's get to our score predictions.
Before we get to that, just got to plug our new show, Cougar Nation. Win or loss, we're breaking this down Monday, 6 to 7 p.m. right here on KSM News Radio. Taking your calls Monday night. We want to get your reaction to this game and look ahead to the Big 12. My score prediction, Mitch, I went back and forth on this one quite a bit. Injuries are a concern to me for BYU. The offensive line has severely underperformed, which makes me feel like I need to recalibrate. But then I look at that Arkansas football team, and I just feel like you're down Rocket Sanders, which we've already discussed. He torched BYU last year. They've got a new OC. Briles is out. He's down at TCU. They're bringing Dan Enos, who I have never understood.
Yeah, he's just a game manager type
guy. He's not explosive. He's not innovative. I just don't feel like, you know who he reminds me of? And maybe this is bad juju because he absolutely blasted BYU. Matt Canada, back when he was at LSU. I'm like, this guy's meh. And then they just go and roll BYU. So I should not have put that out there. I apologize. But at the end of the day, I like BYU's offensive staff better than Arkansas's. I like BYU's skilled players as much as Arkansas's. I feel like BYU, from their time being independent, they're built for these opportunities. We're counted out. We got to make a statement. And so I'm rolling with the Cougs, Mitch. I'm going 27-24, BYU on the road.
I like it. Producer Nate Slack, follow him on X, Nate Slack 5, Broadcast House. What do you got for us, Nate?
Yeah, you know, after Cougar Nation last Monday, I was talking with Matt. I didn't feel good about the game at all. And Boy, have things changed. I'm feeling it, baby. Let's go, Cougs. BYU's going to win 27-24. I'm feeling good about the offense. I think these things are going to start clicking. I trust in Keaton Slovis. I think LJ Martin's going to have some nice things going on. I'm interested to see what happens with Aiden Robbins, because I wonder if LJ has been having success later in the game as the offensive line kind of gets in a groove and figures things out. So I'm curious to see how that goes. But I like our defense against Arkansas. I know they're going to be without Rocket Sanders, and I think that's a big blow to them. I think KJ Jefferson ran all over BYU last year, but I think the linebackers are up for the challenge. So I'm taking the Cougs.
What changed between Cougar Nation and today? That's what I want to know.
I'm just in a good mood today, Matt.
Hey, how can you not be in a good mood? The weather down here in Fayetteville is
nice.
Excellent. It's college football Saturday. We only get 12 of these a year. So fair enough.
I feel like I'm going to have to put the wet blanket on this.
Oh,
I don't want to.
No.
I don't want to. My goodness. I feel terrible about this.
Oh, no.
I'm going to say Arkansas wins 22-16.
Defensive line, too much.
I feel like that is the case. And I don't trust BYU's offense to be high powered in these spots. I always feel like it's, as we talked about earlier, 14-13 over Ole Miss. Late
hey, that
game
was
heroics.
Brandon Doman.
I know late game
fair.
Heroics with A-Rod at Tennessee, where it took a miracle throw. BYU's offense always is kind of herky jerky. Like last year against Arkansas, 35 points, and that was amazing. You think, man, that's rare to put that type of numbers against a talented team like Arkansas. But I just feel like the strength of these teams is defense. And is BYU built to win a defensive game in year one with Jay Hill? We'll find out. I mean, it would be great if BYU's offense delivered, but I am going to go with the Hogs 22-16. Look, I feel like BYU can win this game.
Yeah.
I think it's there for the taking. There's so many similarities between these two teams. I like Arkansas just a little bit more with that home field advantage.
I don't blame you for that, and I wouldn't be shocked at all if BYU lost. I just, there's something about this Arkansas team that I just feel like they're not a great team.
No, they're not.
They're not going to. To me, it's a lot like last year, fighting for 6-6, which BYU might be in the same position.
Yeah.
That's why this battle is fairly equal. But I don't know. I guess really at the end of the day, too, who is going to make a play? Is it KJ Jefferson? Is it Keaton Slovis? And you also got to factor in, I know that Isaac Rex told us earlier in the show, revenge isn't on their mind. It's got to be a little bit,
yep.
though, right? Like,
I think so.
You're not driven by revenge, but there's got to be a little bit in the back of your mind where we're like, hey, especially defensively, they embarrassed us last year. That's not going to happen again today.
Arkansas fans plan to give BYU's visiting section popcorn as a thank you to all the kindness they were given in Provo.
That's
maybe,
amazing.
Maybe, Kate. So since the road team last year had such a good experience, maybe the road team tonight can have a good experience. We'll see how it goes in Fayetteville. Big thanks to everyone involved with the show to bring this together. Big thanks to producer Nate Slack. Big thanks to you, Matt Biamonte. And, folks, follow the coverage on the KSL Sports app, kslsports.com. We'll be live inside the stadium here in Fayetteville. Talk to you on Monday night on Cougar Nation.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on kslpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.